Simon read from Psalm 91 to begin our time this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, if you turn to Psalm 91, and I just want to share with you a few thoughts from that psalm before we take communion together. While you're looking that up, just a few things to say. The Psalms were written by different people. A majority of them were written by David. Some of them were written by the sons of Korah. And Moses actually wrote a few Psalms, and this is one of the Psalms that Moses wrote. So in Psalm 91, verse 14, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him," or, as the New King James said this morning, "I will deliver him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." I want to share with you this morning, just, I think, probably more pastorally and more devotionally, six I wills from this psalm. If you're anything like me this morning, you're kind of feeling a bit vulnerable. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling my humanity a little bit, not necessarily within my own body, but just listening to what's going on in the lives of people. And here in this psalm, we have God speaking to Moses and speaking through Moses for all of us to hear. The I wills. So here's the first one. This is God speaking to Moses and speaking to you. I will deliver him, or I will rescue him. I like the word deliver. I will deliver him. You know, if there was ever a man who was less qualified for the job of delivering the Israelites from what was the most powerful monarch at the time, the Egyptian king, it was Moses. Moses was the most unqualified person ever to do what God called him to do. Oh, there you go. And the reason for that was this, that Moses was a man who attempted everything in his own strength. You know, Moses actually attempted to deliver the people of Israel, and he did it in his own strength. And the outcome of that was one dead Egyptian and a failed attempt. So then Moses was taken out of the scene for 40 years, and he went to the school of God in a place called Horeb. And there God taught him about what it means to be a man of God, independence on him. And here is the reality. With Moses knowing the strength of God and working in and through the strength of God, God delivered 3 million Israelites as easily as I can turn my hand. Moses learnt the lesson that if we are going to be delivered, it will not be in our own strength, it'll be in the strength of God. And I want you to hear this morning that whatever is happening around us, God is saying to us this morning, I will deliver him. I will deliver him from the evil that is within and from the evil that is without. Are there things in your heart, are there things within, habitual sin, your temper, resentment, jealousy, anger, the evil within? God says to you this morning, I will deliver. I will deliver. And then there's the evil without. And God says to you, I will deliver. There is nothing but that God wants to deliver us from this morning. That's the first I will. The second I will is this: I will answer. If you call on God this morning for deliverance, know this, that he will answer you. And this morning, when I was thinking about this passage, I was reflecting on all of the people that have called out to God through the years, through the ages, and he has answered them. And I was thinking about some of the more extreme circumstances. I was thinking about the repentant thief who called out to Jesus on the cross. And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." What about the people who were gathered at the day of Pentecost? Many of them whom had the blood of Jesus on their hands, who were guilty, at least by implication of his death. And Peter says to them, "If you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved." And here this morning, God says to us, "When he calls my name, when she calls my name, I will answer. I will answer." The third "I will" is this: I will be with him in trouble. If we were to collate all of the trouble that's represented by the gathering here this morning, and some of it we've named and talked about this morning, and we were to write a book about it, it would be the biggest book that you would ever read. And you could say that of any church gathering. You could say that of any gathering of people in any place. Jesus was right when he said, "In this world you will have trouble. There's accidents, there's surgery, there's impending death, there's financial difficulty." And we could just list it, and we could list it, and we could list it. You know, God has had one son without sin, but God has never had one son or one daughter without trouble. Jesus was right when he said, "In this world you will have trouble." And then he said what? "But take heart, because I have overcome the world." And I love that, because there is both the honesty of the reality of trouble, and there is the hope of the companionship of Christ in and through trouble. I will be with him in trouble. Jesus will be with you in your trouble. Jesus didn't say there will be no trouble. He said, "I will journey with you through your trouble." There's tremendous reality and hope in that statement. The fourth "I will" is this: I will honour him. I will honour him. Imagine if Moses had sought the honour of the Egyptian Empire. He could have been Commander Moses. He could have been General Moses. Imagine if he had have been elevated through to the status of a pharaoh, a royal. He would have been Pharaoh Moses. But in comparison to all that the world offers by way of honour, God says, "I will honour him. I will honour him." And I want to say to you this morning, don't seek the honour of the world. Seek the honour of God. Because Moses will be forever remembered as a man whom God used, stammering, stuttering, humble Moses will be forever remembered as a man useful to God. And God says, "I will honour him." And to us he says, "I will honour you." The fifth "I will" is this: I will satisfy him with long life. Do you think that you would ever be satisfied with the number of years that you have? Imagine if you get to live to be 100. For some of you, that's closer than for others of us. But imagine you get to that magic age of 100. Do you think that you'd be satisfied with that in terms of years here on earth? Imagine if you lived to be 120. Would you be satisfied with that? Probably not. The reality is this: that we are always coming to the end of something in this life. The end of the day, the end of the week, the end of the year, the end of work, the end of school. And we will never be satisfied with this life and the years that we have without knowing that beyond the constraints of physical life here on earth, there is life everlasting. And when God says, "I will satisfy him with long years, with long life," he's not talking about his years here on earth. He's speaking about his years into eternity. Do you know what? Moses has never been alive as he is alive today. Contemplate that for a moment. Moses has never been alive as he is alive today. I will satisfy him with long years. And finally, this is the final I will. I will show him my salvation. For the men and the women of the Old Testament, they looked forward to the cross. There has only ever been one way of salvation, and that is in and through Christ. And they looked forward to the event of the cross. They looked forward to Jesus. The reality is we look back on the cross and all that God has done in and through Christ. But Jesus stands at the center of history as the person in whom there is salvation, and there is not salvation through anyone but him. So when God says to Moses, I will show him my salvation, Moses looked forward to the cross and we look back. But it's the same in Christ. And the fullness of salvation that Moses was promised is realized in Jesus. And the fullness of salvation that we experience is, of course, only found in Christ. And that brings us to the table, where we take the bread and we take the cup. And as we take the bread, we remember that the bread represents the broken body of Jesus. And as we take the cup, we remember that that represents the blood of Christ that flowed freely for you and for me, and that it represents the complete forgiveness of sin. So let's just pause and pray. And in the midst of everything that we've heard this morning, let's remember the I will. Let's remember that God stands in the center of our suffering, of our pain, of our concern, of our fear, of our financial difficulties, of our sense of hopelessness. God stands in the center of all of that. And in all of that, he brings his love, his grace, his hope, his promise. And he says to us this morning, I will deliver you. I will answer you. I will rescue you. I will satisfy you with long years. I will show you my salvation. I will honor you. I will. It's about him. It's not about us. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you that all of history centers around you and your Son Jesus. We thank you that our salvation is centered in him, and without him there is no salvation. And that it's not about what we have done, it's not about what we can do, it's not about our goodness, it's not about our performance. It is about a wonderful act in real time, in real history, where the Son of God died on a cross, where his blood was shed, where his body was bruised and marred beyond recognition, where he did all of that as the representative of all of humanity, where he took punishment that didn't belong to him, that was deserved of us, and where in its place he has extended grace and forgiveness and righteousness before a holy God. And so as we come to the table this morning, as we take the bread and the cup, help us to be mindful of the depth of what you've done in redeeming humanity. May we be thankful. May we always, always remember that this life that you've given is a gift, that this life that you've extended is a gift to be shared, that the love in our heart and the truth in our mind is not just for us, but it's for a dying world. So thank you for the body of Christ broken for us, and thank you for the blood of Christ shed for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're going to be served this morning. Bruce, would you mind helping as well? And we'll serve you the bread and the cup. As you receive the bread, if you would just take that and eat it, give thanks in your heart. As you receive the cup, if you would just hold that, and we'll drink together.